Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
I want to consider the different individuals who were touched by the baby Jesus. If you went and visited a baby in the hospital, perhaps you could walk away and say, that was nice, it's wonderful to see the new little baby. But to be touched by the baby, maybe doesn't talk at that point. Maybe it touched you emotionally, but to be touched, like this baby's going to change my life. It's a little bit different when you're looking at Jesus, the promised Messiah. And I want us to consider this, but why don't we pray first and just ask the Lord to capture this moment for us tonight. It's Christmas Eve. We're here together. People are doing a myriad of things today. Store parking lots are full, and people are doing things, but we're here tonight worshiping and adoring the Lord Jesus Christ for all that he's done. And so let's just pray and ask him to help us to catch what we need to. Our Father, thank you for this gathering tonight. I thank you for what it represents. We didn't gather here just to fulfill a religious duty. We gathered here because you as well have touched our lives. And you've made a difference. There's something that you've done in our hearts. Maybe we don't even fully understand you yet, but you've touched us. Tonight I pray that the way that you touched and influenced the lives of those involved in the Christmas story, may you touch every single one here. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to notice that the shepherds were touched, and we learned how they rose immediately in the middle of the night and ran to Bethlehem. I don't know how far out in the countryside they were, but they were about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. They would have been tasked with raising the sacrificial animals that would provide for the sacrifices that happened up in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. So these men, that's all they knew. They knew the countryside. But that night, when the angel came to tell them that not just a baby was born, but the Lamb of God was born, and encouraged them to go to Bethlehem and see this matter, I want us to realize that as soon as they came, verse number 16, and saw it, they came with haste, they came immediately. As soon as they came and saw it, the Bible says they went out and made known abroad the statement. They made known abroad the saying that was told to them by the angels. And do you realize tonight that these shepherds were so touched by what they saw and what they had heard that night that they went and mentioned it publicly. They mentioned it publicly. What does it take for you to mention something publicly? Maybe a good meal, a good restaurant. You go around and mention, hey, you ought to go to this place. I recently found, I found a place that serves shawarma. And you say, what's shawarma? Does anyone know what shawarma is? Man, we had that in Nazareth. When we were over there earlier this year, my wife and I, and it was fantastic. Nazareth shawarma is better than Jerusalem shawarma, but it was fantastic. And we were like, well, there's no way we're going to find that in the U.S. Well, come to find out, about a mile and a half from my house, there is a shawarma shop, and there's one from Palestine, and there's also one from Jerusalem, and they both make shawarma, and it's really good. You know, I've mentioned that several times because I really, really, really enjoy it. What does it take for us to mention something publicly at work, in our workplace, to a family, friend? What does it take for us to mention it? Well, this night, they saw that what they had heard out in the hillside from the angel of the Lord and all the angels that gathered together with them, they went and saw it in Bethlehem, and they went from that place and began to mention it, to make it known. The word is idea to cause other people to know it. To cause other people to know it. They went with a purpose to say, we want you to know what has happened here in Bethlehem that night. Without their word, no one would have known it. Now, with their word, they were specifically revealing, this is what God said, we saw it, and we want you all to know it. They mentioned it publicly. They mentioned it publicly. There was a study done about word of mouth being one of the most trusted channels of communication or advertisement. 92% of consumers trust recommendation from friends by word of mouth. It is said that in the United States, $6 trillion of annual consumer spending is driven by word of mouth. That's why when you have an app, they're always trying to get you, refer this to a friend and you'll get $5, right? They're constantly trying to get you to say something by word of mouth because they know you have more influence than them just saying something as an advertisement. Word of mouth is powerful. And here the shepherds are, not being coaxed along by God. They have seen it and they're so excited about it. They're so touched in their hearts that they go out and begin to mention it publicly in the streets of Bethlehem. These guys weren't evangelists. These guys weren't public speakers. They were shepherds. They were used to being on the backside of a hill watching sheep, baa, right? And you make sounds and do their thing. And here this night, they're turned into public announcers for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I find? I find that people who have been touched by Jesus have no problem speaking about him. And you and I, when we're touched by Jesus, when he's touched our heart, when we know he's done something in our life that maybe no one else understands, we have no problem speaking about it. I don't say that to get on us in any sort of way. You've practiced that in your life. You've spoken about how God has met a need to a family friend. You've conveyed, this is what Jesus has done for me. Some maybe more, some maybe less, but the reality is when Jesus touches our heart, don't we find it easy at that point to say something about it? Isn't it more natural to say, this is what he just did for me, he answered this prayer? Well, that night, they were touched by the baby Jesus. By the baby Jesus. It had to be more than just a baby in a manger that touched them that night. It had to be that they realized this is the Messiah, and as they heard on the hillside, he is Christ the Lord. He is Christ the very God. He is Christ Jehovah. So they mentioned it, and they mentioned it publicly. I love this statement. Somebody said, I'm just a nobody from nowhere trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. We don't have anything to offer others other than what Jesus has given to us, other than what Jesus has touched our lives with. And so they were touched by Jesus and they mentioned him publicly. But notice what happened in verse number 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. All of them that heard it. Now think about that. Here the public is hearing this for the first time, just like a few hours before the shepherds had heard it for the first time, and they're wondering. They're amazed by it. They're marveling at it, and the shepherds mention it publicly, but the public now marvels at what they're hearing. What? The Messiah has been born, the one that has been promised through all through these many, many years, the one we've read about in Isaiah chapter 9, and the one we've heard about, he has been born. Yes, he's been born. And all those in Bethlehem wondered, they were marveling, they were amazed at what they were hearing. You know, the fact that Jesus would come as a little baby, as one of you mentioned, that he identified with us even in our humanity. Even in our infancy, the fact that he would come like that is truly amazing. That's why we're here tonight. Do you know, there's nothing that gathers us all into one room. Nothing like the name of Jesus Christ. There's no reason. Some of us, except for knowing Jesus Christ, would never have met each other. Do you know that? We were in different lanes, if you will, just naturally. We live in different parts of the city. But Jesus Christ has touched our lives and brought us together. And it truly is a wonderful and amazing thing. And that night, the public marveled at the message they heard from these shepherds. They hadn't gone to school on how to give public announcements and endorsements and advertise for something. They just went out and said, this has touched our hearts, and we want you to know about it. And they declared those things. And so without the shepherds, the public would not have heard and would not have had the opportunity to marvel at those things that were told them by the angel of the Lord, and would not have been able to hear about the birth of Jesus Christ, who was in a manger that night in Bethlehem. It was with the shepherds' help and through the shepherds that God intended to touch the public. Listen, don't forget this. You being touched by Jesus, God intends to take you and turn you into a channel through which to touch other people's lives with Jesus. Don't forget that. You're not a container, you're a conduit. The moment that you and I, we start being a reservoir with what God has blessed us with and not a river, we've gotten the Christian life thing all mixed up. We're supposed to receive from Him, He's touched our lives with the beautiful gift of salvation, be able to touch other people's lives with it. Isn't that what our theme verse here at Grace is? John 7:37, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He intends to touch other people through your life, through your witness, through your mentioning. And notice they didn't go out there, it doesn't even say they went out there and preached it. They just made it known abroad. They talked about it. And the public marveled at this message. But notice what happens with Mary in verse number 19. It says, and Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She kept all these things. Interesting word, kept. She guarded it. It was a special thing. I'm guessing that Mary didn't know how to process it all, and she was going to take a little bit of time to process it all. I guess we would have as well. Mary meditated on these things in her heart. She stored them up in her mind. She preserved the knowledge. She didn't want to let go of it. In fact, this word kept is only used here in the New Testament in this sense. That she guarded, she preserved this. She didn't want to let go. This is such a special moment. This is such a sacred moment. She didn't want to let it go. She preserved it. She valued it. She pondered these things, meditated on them. We ponder things. A bill, a problem, a situation at work. We ponder things all the time, don't we? You can talk, don't we? We meditate. Let's put it this way, worry. We worry about things and we rehearse it in our mind. Well, here tonight, on that night, Mary was pondering, she was considering, she was meditating on all that had happened, all that she heard the shepherds say. Can you imagine? I alluded to this a little bit this morning, but this is quite an interesting thing. I mean, this is a divine moment, Jesus being born in the flesh, Mary just giving birth, and now, as one of you mentioned this morning, a bunch of stinky shepherds show up to visit. They weren't all cleaned up. This is before the days of hand sanitizer in hospitals and so on. They came to visit. Mary's just standing back like, what? What does all this mean? And rehearsing all this in her mind. And the Bible helps us understand that she was a very meditative lady. What a wonderful lady she was. She was highly favored of the Lord. But Jesus had so touched her life in that moment. And God had so touched her life that she just paused and meditated on it. You know, there's different ways that we respond to the touch of God, to the touch of His words. Sometimes we walk away and we have to take several days and think on it. Other times we just have to go share it with somebody. And there are times it's just simply, wow, look what God has done. And all three of these things we see here, as these individuals were being touched by the Lord Jesus, by the baby. The Bible says in Psalm 104 and verse 33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Friends, let's also pause in the midst of all the busyness. Remember, Bethlehem was alive with activity because of the census. Let's pause in the midst of the busyness. And this isn't just the Christmas season, but let's remember to pause and allow what God is doing in our hearts to truly sink in. There's a bit of a principle here. Sometimes we can hear God speak to us through His Word in our devotional time or as we gather in a service, and we can run on to the next thing and lose sight of what God has done. Mary pondered it in her heart. She kept it and she pondered it in her heart. But what happens with the shepherds as they leave? The final summary here is in verse number 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They praised the Lord. I want us to realize that the shepherds went back to their places of service, to their places of duty, back out on the hillside, back to the flocks. They went back magnifying God, praising Him, exalting Him, and talking of how, all that He had done. In fact, the idea here is that they returned. How? How did they return? What was the manner in which they returned? Glorifying and praising God. Glorifying and praising God. How do we return to our place of duty? How do we return to the mundane after we've been touched by the Lord? Oh, I got to get back to work. You know, even as we get back to work after Christmas, do we go back with a song in our heart, glorifying and praising God? Or do we go back, oh, I can't believe I already have to go back to work? You know, the world around us needs to see that God has touched our heart and He's touched our lips with praise. That we magnify Him before others. They went back with a song in their heart. They returned to their jobs magnifying God. Jesus had changed them. And He's just a baby. He had touched them in that moment. Jesus had so touched them, they magnified God all the way back to work. And when Jesus touches our hearts, He makes even the most mundane tasks something we can do with joy. Now that convicts me, because sometimes, I'm going to ask you to, do you identify with this? Sometimes the mundane, we struggle to have joy in the midst of that. Are you with me on that? Sometimes the things we do day to day, we struggle to have joy. But when Jesus is touching our heart, when God is at work in our lives, that's when we can have joy even in the midst of the mundane. And I encourage you towards that. I encourage you to think about how the shepherds went back to their places of work. So have you been touched by the Lord? Has there been a times that you've been touched by His Word? Touched by the expression of one of His followers? Can you think of how God has touched your life? Don't lose sight of that. What's your response to that? For the shepherds, they mentioned it publicly. For the public, they marveled at it. Wow! For Mary, she meditated on it. For the shepherds, again, they magnified God. They praised God. Shouldn't we do all that and more? When God touches our hearts, when He touches our lives. And it wasn't just that night that Jesus is touching. He's touching lives right now. Praise the Lord for folks that have come to Christ even today. He's touching lives. He's changing lives. He's changing homes. And God is doing that, and it's by His power. And what a great thing. And we ought to marvel at it. We ought to rejoice in it. We ought to meditate on it. We ought to magnify Him for it. And I encourage you to do that even in this moment. Would you bow? And let's have a quiet time of prayer before we go any further. Would you talk to the Lord tonight? Would you respond to His touch? And I do want to ask tonight, with our heads bowed, has there been a time where you have been touched by Jesus Christ specifically in salvation? You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? I mean, has there been a time where you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? The angels that night told the shepherds, a Savior is born, who is Christ the Lord. What's a Savior? One who saves from our sin? Has there been a time where you have been saved from your sin, where you have realized that you were a sinner before a holy God, and that you trusted in Jesus Christ to save you from your sin and to give you the forgiveness of sin? Have you been touched by Jesus in that way? He said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." Could I ask you tonight, do you remember back to that moment? For me, it was the age of 12, November 13th, 1996, that I was touched, if you would, by Jesus, where I realized I was a sinner before a holy God, and I accepted Jesus Christ as the only payment for my sin. You say, "Pastor, I do remember a day. I do remember a time. I might not have the date in memory, but I remember a time where I realized I was a sinner before a holy God, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." You'd say with an upraised hand, "I remember that day I was touched by Jesus." Amen. 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 So many. You can put your hands back down. Could I encourage you, if you're not able to raise your hand tonight, could I encourage you? We're not going to run off right away after the service. Could I encourage you to allow us to show you from Scripture how you can know for sure that when you die, you will spend eternity with Jesus Christ for all of eternity? That every one of your sins, past, present, and future, every one of your sins is forgiven. Could I encourage you to stop by and to simply ask so that we can show you from the Bible how you might know for sure? That would be our greatest delight. Christians, everyone, would you take a moment there? Respond to the touch of Jesus. Would you thank him? Would you praise him? Would you meditate for a moment? Is there anyone here tonight that would say, "Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand a moment ago, but it is a burden on my heart. I don't have a time where I've been touched by Jesus. I don't have a time where I've received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." No one looking around. I wonder if you just be honest. I'm not going to point you out, but I'd certainly like to know it. I don't know for certain that I'm saved. I don't have that assurance in my heart. And here's my hand to acknowledge that. Is anyone like that here tonight? Our Father, we do thank you for the salvation that you so freely provided through Jesus Christ. We don't deserve it. You're so good. You're so good to us. And I can't imagine the joy in the shepherds' hearts that night to be able to see the promise, the fulfilled promise there in the manger. I can't imagine the wonder inside of Mary's heart to be so a part of your grand plan. Lord, I pray that we'd not keep the good news that we still have today to ourselves, that we'd mention it even as we gather with friends and family tomorrow. We love you and thank you for gathering us into this place tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.